That's the Cannonball Adderley Quartet.
Quintet.
Because it also features the boss himself with Dat Dare. It's from his 1960 album, Them Dirty Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trice Lead. And we start off the week with some crazy stories that developed over the weekend. And it has to do with what the heck is going on in this country. What is going on here? I mean, it looks like just about anybody could just walk in and say, listen, I want to be president. I promise I'll be okay. But I think I'll do a good job. Hire me. I think that's what's next. We're waiting for anybody who thinks that they can do this job to just walk in and volunteer their services. But first, I have a bit of very strange news to share with you. And it has to do with some strange things happening with the Democratic Party. Even stranger things, let me correct myself, happening with the Democratic Party. There's been a lot of dying going on lately with the Democratic Party, mysterious deaths. And none of them solved yet. And all of them up in the air, all of them having a whole bunch of tangled webs. And it is very, very disconcerting. Just, in fact, tomorrow would have been the day that one of these people was to report in Miami to testify about the Clinton Foundation. His name is Klaus Eberwein, but it sounds German, and this is the odd thing about the Caribbean, as you know. He wasn't a German. He was a Haitian, as a matter of fact, a governmental official who was found dead last Tuesday in a motel room in South Miami-Dade. He was in town preparing for this testimony he was to give, and when people tried to make contact with him and did not make contact with him, well, the assumption was that he was looking up old friends in the area and so forth. But they continued and persisted to contact him. And then finally, they went to his room and found him dead. The medical examiner says that there's no definitive determination at this time, but it appears that he was shot in the head, and so they have ruled it a homicide. Now, what is important to keep in mind is that this indicates that there is an investigation ongoing into money that was supposed to be directed into projects in Haiti. These are international funds, and these funds were to be disbursed to be part of the rebuilding of Haiti. Remember, Bill Clinton was supposed to go down to Haiti and rebuild it bigger and better, he said. Well, this was a chunk of money that came through this man, Eberwein's office in Haiti, and it was supposed to be allocated in different areas to begin the process of rebuilding. But as you know, the earthquake was in 2010, and billions of dollars came into Haiti and they just disappeared. Well, he was in charge of a certain amount of funds, and these funds were to be directed toward rebuilding. However, he soon found out that the money was disappearing. And he had testified before, he had come to the United States before and demanded that somebody make sure to tell us where the money went under Bill and Hillary Clinton. Where did this money go? In fact, he said it out loud that money was being stolen. Well, they didn't find any money to continue with many of the projects. And so he waited and waited and nothing happened. So it was a signal that that project, for all intents and purposes, was shut down to be continued at some other point, but not now. And there's to be no accounting. There hasn't been any accounting. By his own testimony, and this is just a small pot, okay? This is just a small pot of the money, accounting altogether for about $5 to $6 billion. Of that money, he said, not even 1% ended up with the people. Not even 1%. So he had begun to blow the whistle on Mr. and Mrs. Clinton and also their cohorts in Haiti, because that's just how this whole thing works. Next thing you know, he turns up dead. And nobody knows how or why, but they're pushing the idea that this is a suicide. Well, many people I talked to up until yesterday said this is no suicide. They don't care what the so-called medical report, report is, medical examiner's report. They say this is not a suicide. So we will see where that goes. We have another situation also related. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, you know, that you don't get to know. And it's because the news of it is buried so that it doesn't surface. And by the time you get to know these things, you know, it's way down the line already. There was a federal prosecutor named Brenton Wisenant Jr. or Wisenant Jr. It's a very unusual name, Wisenant. He's a federal prosecutor who was assigned duty in Miami, Florida. And he too turned up dead. His body washed up on the beach and, you know, fully clothed in his office jacket and so forth. And it was very, very puzzling to people who knew him. Who would kill him and why? Well, it turns out that where he was found was in an area that he was actually working in. And that area is an area in which the congressional district of Debbie Wasserman Schultz is located. And in fact, that was what he was investigating. He was investigating a project and connections to the project located in the congressional district of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. He was able to find out, he was just recently appointed to this task, but it is reported that he came to the task with very high marks, very strong credentials. He was an admired law enforcement officer and investigator. And there began to be some association with his death and something in that area where he was assigned. We don't know what it is. But we do know, and the press reported here, this is from the Miami Herald. They say that there seems to be something gelling having to do with Debbie Wasserman Schultz and her associates. Because part of what he was unearthing was the operation of the Democratic National Committee and funds handled by that committee. And you may recall that recently I talked about the big case that was going on in South Florida that I was following. And that case had to do with a challenge to the Democratic National Committee over Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Some lawsuits were filed challenging the Democratic National Committee, which was then under the control directly of Debbie Wasserman Schultz. The plaintiffs were questioning the legitimacy of her stewardship. They were questioning the conduct of elections that basically sidelined them and stole elections. They were questioning all kinds of things having to do with the process. It wasn't really well covered at all. It's still, in many ways, still ongoing pieces of the trial. But I did say this was going to be something to watch. I had no idea what I was saying, the enormity of it. And here is this detective who turns up dead. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. You know, a lot happens in the world of politics that we associate with the old days. But I tell you, the more you get to read about the Clintons and the closer you get to their operations, the more you see the old days haven't gone away. So here in the middle of a trial over what would seem to be party problems, some people within the party questioning how money is handled, questioning how the party has basically organized itself as a kind of a racketeering organization. This detective was specifically assigned to look into things locally. Debbie Wasserman Schultz has a strong support base in her district, which is largely Jewish. But in recent years, the more progressive end of the party have been having some problems with how she was running it, which played a major role in her being deposed, taken away from the post. How she engineered the outcomes and the fixing of elections so that Bernie Sanders would lose and Hillary would win. There are all kinds of complaints and very nasty complaints surfacing in the trial. But this didn't have anything so much to do with the specifics of the trial. The investigation that this detective was undertaking was he was getting the lay of the land, talking to people, going place to place, person to person, talking to people, gathering information. That's the stage it was at when, of course, he was killed. And even so, they are trying to say that he was not killed, that it has not been officially determined how he died. Well, I would say that the bullets in the back of his head are a clue. When they found him, he was dressed as he would going to the office, a jacket, tie, and so forth. So that's number two. We have this story coming out also about a hacker, or a person who said he worked very closely with hackers to get hacked emails from Hillary Clinton's emails that were hacked, that he was close to those people. He was an older man. He was 81 years old. Peter Smith. His health was failing, and he wanted to get the message to somebody what he was doing all this time while he was well. They found him with his head in a plastic bag and helium in the bag. All the oxygen gone out of the bag. He had two canisters of helium in his room, and that's how he allegedly died. We still don't know whether he did it himself or whether it was administered. When I talked with one of his close associates yesterday, he confirmed that he did get a note from Peter W. Smith relating to Hillary Clinton's emails, or some of them. But he said the note was in all capital letters, and it was never the way that Peter Smith would write to him. The language, the phrasing sounded very different. But that is as far as we've gotten with that to get a sense of what's happening with the Clinton Foundation, with the Democratic Party, and with where politics is going. I mean, this is all this week. And it seems that there has been no let up. How many people so far? I've counted about 35. 35 people who have been dispatched in one way or another, who in one way or the other were associated with the Democratic Party and or the Clintons and their circle. And I find it just unbelievable that we have this level of criminality going on, but we haven't read the details of any investigation at all going on. I'm going to get a little bit deeper into this, but so far, this is just from this week and last week, within the span of a week, this is the bumper crop of craziness, murders, suicides, disappearances. But we're not reading about it. this would constitute a major investigation, I would think, including that of the investigator, the federal investigator, dragged out of the sea. Two bullets in his head. And he just got to Miami to start his investigations. You know, this is why I say politics has come to be so just disgusting. And this is not the kind of politics that you want to be involved in. We still have the unsolved, what is it, but murder of a young woman. I'm blocking on her name now. I'll get it in a minute. Who went to Haiti to investigate child trafficking associated with the Clinton Foundation. After the earthquake, we had many fake organizations descending on Haiti and snatching up these children, allegedly to get them adopted. They were supposed to be orphans. By the hundreds, they rounded them up. Where they ended up, we don't know. But people, supposedly under the aegis of the Clinton Foundation, the foundation allegedly assisted them with the quote paperwork unquote. And these children were taken from Haiti and heaven knows where they ended up. It is not even proven that the children were in fact orphans. They were just children. They were rounded up and under with this new organization, the children were taken away. Nobody knows where they went. The theory by the Haitians I've spoken to is that these children ended up as sex toys for these global rings that have children working in as sex workers, or they ended up as house slaves. And next thing you know, they're gone without a trace. Hundreds of them. And so we wonder what is going on? Why is it allowed? Why hasn't it caused a major investigation by the authorities and an accounting of the Clinton Foundation as to its role in the disappearance of these children, and to verify, or at least once and for all, decide what has happened to these children? There are people looking for them, getting nowhere. And yet, representatives of this organization that says it's adopting them to basically help them out because now they're orphans as a result of the earthquake, and they are allowed to leave the country. In fact, the Clinton Foundation is said to have made or helped to make special arrangements so that they can, under this organization, they can get the special papers to leave the country, as if this were a normal kind of adoption thing, and it isn't. These children were stolen and put into the sex trade. So we're quiet about it, but we're looking at things. And there are so many roadblocks. All day yesterday, I spent talking to people I know. And for them, many of them, some things are brand new to them. They had no idea. And I'm telling you, they are deep activists because this kind of stuff is underground, deeply underground. But people have been looking at Haiti with predatory intentions for a long, long time. The earthquake gave the advantage of opening the gates so that they can get all this stuff done with help from the highest levels, the Clintons, and whoever she decides should be the president of Haiti. At this time, much of this is in the age of Michel Martelly, who Hillary personally went down to Haiti to install as her approved president, who, of course, made a messy situation even messier, allowed her to do whatever she wants to do, gave her the rights, and she, of course, transferred it to her brother to mine gold in Haiti. There's a lot of gold in Haiti. Gave Bill's brother the monopoly on rice. Haitians no longer could grow their own rice and feed themselves as they had for hundreds of years. Rice now comes out of Arkansas, where Bill's brother has a monopoly concession. The suffering that the Clintons have brought upon the Haitians is just immeasurable. And it's amazing that these people still have a positive attitude. The things that have been done, quote, legally, unquote, to them. So that's how I spent my weekend, wondering what else has to happen. I mean, what else could they possibly do to this country that they have ripped apart in so many ways, stolen so much of it? And they stand before Americans and they talk all this patriotic stuff. And sometimes they even get elected. But it's all about money. So we're still trying to find out where things are with these children. Where could they possibly be? Who might have taken them and where to? How many? For what purpose? They're hiding under the guise that this is being done in the name of mercy and in the name of God. But that's not what we're being told. That's not what people in Haiti have come to learn. This is not about a church group taking hundreds of kids to safety, and after a while, they bring them back and reunite them with their parents. That's not on the agenda here at all. This is pure exploitation of these children. Similarly, we saw it in Vietnam or any place where basically people can go and do whatever they want and abuse children by the thousands, so that they are totally destroyed by the time they're 7 or 8. Sometimes they even get the cooperation of the children's families because they're so poor and destitute. They're so desperate. They will agree, take the children, thinking that the children are going to a place where they'll be taken care of and they'll come back. And that's not what's going on here. Now, we don't see movement in the United States about it, or the international community responding to urgent pleas made by several organizations, grassroots organizations that are doing this kind of work, trying to get help. Nothing is happening. So this is why I say that, we have to redefine our politics. And it can no longer be just, well, we go with the old brand. Is it Democrat or is it Republican? It's neither. Both parties are woeful. And in the end, they are neither competent to respond, nor are they motivated to respond. They have no interest in responding. And yet, it drives me crazy when black folks, especially blacks and Latinos, are so thrilled about supporting the Democratic Party. And they really believe Hillary Clinton means to do so much for people. None of this is true. None of this is true. I'll take a little break here and we're going to come back to that point. We'll pick up the point on whether it's time to dump these parties and stop allowing them, stop partnering with them in abusing us and our communities. We'll get to that right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.fm, a little promotion here at this point. I would really like your help in promoting this station to everybody you know, because as I highlighted in just this little segment, the first segment I did, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of this for the first time. This should be well known all over the place, all over the world. But we don't have a media institution interested in this kind of information and doing something about it. So, to the extent that you can, in your circle of friends and family, please pass the word about PRN. And pass the word about this program in particular. But pass the word about the station because it's about providing information. It's not your fault that, or my fault that we don't know these things. But we have the ability to get people to start becoming familiar with these things, to start knowing these things. And what you should do. And what we all should do is, in whatever way we can, we support a medium that helps us to connect with each other. So now I come to my point about political parties. And I think it's about time to just, you know, put a period at the end of that sentence. We should no longer be involved, it seems to me, in business as usual politics or in politics, period. If we are going to be involved in politics, we have to redefine how we're going to do that. We should have no further use for parties. There is, my friend Charles Ortel calls it the unit party. There's one party. They vary in degree on certain subjects, in certain areas. It's the same party. We should move away from a party system. It's not serving us. Put an end to it. I did that more than 20 years ago. What is a Democratic Party doing for me? Of what use is a Democratic Party or Republican Party or any party? Could they demonstrate that they can be or have been of use to the masses of people? And by of use, I mean of practical use. My ideology and their ideology and ideology across the board, that's not their business. That's not, don't interfere with my ideology. I can handle that. I'll take care of my ideology. The reason you're supposed to be effective as a party is that you are on the flip side of the coin, able to maneuver in such a way that you get the business done. So don't tell me about people are leftist or rightist or whatever it is. That's not important. That's a personal thing that people could handle. What I want to know is, what is your record of success in executing the people's will? That's a question. That's the only reason we should look to a party. What is your record of success at A, understanding the people's will, and B, executing on it and getting it done? It's almost 6 months. Well, it's half a year anyway, even if we give him a grace period as the new president. All we hear is yammering and arguing and nonsense that has nothing to do with the existence of a party or two parties and my objective conditions of life, except that they're made even more miserable than before. I don't need a party. I don't need this process. So I absented myself from it 20 plus years ago. We should not have any reason to be talking to a party about ideology. They have none. And we're fighting for them to get one, and one that we like. That is not our job. Our job is what? Survival. We have had to fight against these people in order to survive. So since they do not factor into our survival, then we leave him alone. We get out of the party and do something else. The job now is, what is that something else? And we got to do it fast. And it's not really about forming a party. I've been saying this for years. The party process, we fight so hard to form a party. Well, okay. Now that let's hypothesize. You formed a party. Have you also formed a new system for this new party? You see, it's all designed to frustrate you and to frustrate the basic thing, which is movement forward. You're going to be stuck here for another century and a half talking about racial equality and equal rights. And my thing is, forget it. You've done a good job communicating that it is important to be fixed. You do not have a century and a half to find out how you're going to fix it. You've already put the ideas out there. You've already, there's more than enough literature and all of that stuff. You got all the tools. If the evidence shows there is little or no interest in picking up from where you leave off and defining the problem and defining things that could work and so forth, you go away on your own. And you should have no remorse about it. You should have no feelings of dejection about it. It's survival. They are not helping you with your survival. Therefore, you have to become fixed with that mission in your life. See to your survival. The phone lines are open at 888-874-4888. What can we say to each other today on this matter? We'll follow up because these killings, like I said, I was reading in a magazine recently. It's a, believe it or not, it's a right-wing magazine, and they seem to be on top of these folks. They're watching them. They listed everyone, 35 so far. So we will keep on this thing and we'll try to find out what happened to these children. What happened to them? Where are they? Lincoln Brown, you're on the air from Mount Vernon.
Hey, you two, it's a long time.
Yes, how are you?
I'm okay. I hope you're doing much better with your injuries, etc.
We hang in.
Yeah, I must say this. It's not just the politicians to be blamed, but the people also. And I think the people greatly, because the people have, they seem to indicate that they're just interested in symbolism politics. And therefore, they accept token gestures from politicians. Look at when Obama ran for president. Never did he say anything substantial. All he told them was change, change, change. And never did he define concretely what change meant. When they talked about people were clamoring for universal health care, what did Obama say to them? Say, hey, man, you have to take it one step at a time. Imagine, after all these years, this was some excuse. And because, going back to what I said, because of the people's love for symbolism and their love for some idol, which they had now idolized in because they were so happy that a black man was president, because he was so cool, they went along with that and said, yes, we got to take it easy. And going back now to the Clintons, and this is what I mean about the idealism and symbolic politics. I have been posting forever about the Clintons and the murders related to them on Facebook. And the strangest thing is people are talking all about Trump and what he did or did not do. But everyone seems to avoid talking about the Clintons and the suspicious murders around them. And the Democratic Party is greatly to be blamed to. Look at, what's his name, Seth Rich, that DNC staffer, who it is possible it was him who leaked the information to WikiLeaks, and he showed up with a bullet in his head. You did not hear anything from Obama or anyone in the Democratic Party, or no remorse expressed around Seth Rich's death. And there was
I want to ask you, I mean, you have a handle on things present and things past. What's the future?
The future is dismal.
Yeah, but when I ask you the question, what's the future?
Like
I'm asking, what tools do you think will help, will work to get us out of this rut, because we are immobilized?
In some ways, we have to approach it like a preacher. And what I mean by this is, you know, the same way you go to church and the preacher is always telling you about heaven and somebody might get saved, etc., or the same way you go there and you try to teach people about diet and you tell them about diet, but yet you give them the facts, but they'll continue down that suicidal path. I think likewise is a similar approach, you know, that we have to try to form organizations, but we also have to continue to try to educate the people. Because if you don't educate them, the same thing is going to happen again. There's going to be protests for a while. There's going to be all those who come and they support the, from Vermont.
Sanders,
you know. But then, look at it. Sanders threw all of his weight behind the Democratic Party, shafted all those people, and those people, they're so stupid, they're still shouting, Bernie, Bernie, even after Bernie Sanders, rather than throwing all of that political arsenal he had behind
the Green Party. I would encourage you.
Pardon?
Don't say the people are stupid.
Hello?
I said I want to encourage you to not call those people stupid. They made for themselves the best choice in their view. They made the best choice. And
yeah,
the reason they made these choices is...
Hold it.
Because I can't hear you. You're talking at the same time.
Look,
people are where they are. And it's not because they want to be stupid. They are where they are. The thing is that the people who should be involved in organizing them, they should recognize how you go about organizing people. You can't just stand on a high mountain and say, oh, well, they're stupid. They're beyond being taught anything. No, they are where they are. The question is, how do you reach them? What is the tool that you will use to reach them?
I apologize for saying that they're stupid. I actually shouldn't have said that. But I think I said that out of frustration. You know, I have conversations with people constantly, and I show them things about Obama and about the Clintons, and I show them that there's not much difference between the Clintons and Trump, etc. And you could be having a logical discussion with anyone, but as soon as you touch something that they don't want to hear, suddenly truth goes out the window. And when I said those people are stupid, I really should have articulated that better. What I mean, stupid in that sense, once they're hearing what they want to hear, fine. But when you tell them something they don't want to hear, suddenly it's a different thing. I remember when this guy was talking about God is coming back, this guy from Family Radio, right? And you'd point out to people things that seemed like it wasn't jiving with the Bible concerning what this guy was saying. It was fine if you were defending this man, but any time you even no matter how good your point was, they wouldn't want to hear it. And I think people behave like that about politics, about religion, about medicine. So I think that, yes, you can organize, but you have to keep pushing and pushing. Because look at all the countries in the world. There's only one country, that, or maybe two, that was working reasonably well. It was Cuba and Libya. And look what happened. It was destroyed. And no matter how much you point out to people how Obama and Clinton was responsible for destroying Libya, black people, white people, so-called liberals, progressives, none of them want to hear that. So I say that they're all in the same bag, you know, and they just want to go up to a certain point. You know, they're not really interested in real change, in real progress. They're all into just tokenism, symbolism. Look at Obama. You know,
I want to take a couple more calls, but what I want to say to you is concentrate more on how you develop certain flexibilities about meeting people where they are in order to engage them. Concentrate on that.
That is true.
As opposed to standing over here being right, and then you're not reaching anybody. Concentrate more on how you work on yourself. If you wish to be an agent of change, you can't be an agent of change if nobody's talking to you, or if you're not talking to anybody. So it seems to me that's an area that you have to work on in order to get a different result. You have to accept most people, if not all people, we all are, let's say all, we are all the product of our environment and perhaps a bit of intuitive learning. It takes some time to get to where we think we are. But I could tell you, it doesn't mean anything unless you find a way to connect with people who are not at your level. They may be at a higher level than you, in which case you will have to find a way to put yourself in a way of learning and listening. Otherwise, you are in a position to transmit the information. So we have to work on ways in which we try to find avenues to talking to people and having them talk back to us. We haven't even achieved that yet. We imagine we are farther along the line than we actually are. All right. Thanks so much for calling. We have time for one more call. Willie from Brooklyn, you have it.
Afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing? Listen, your chief, you know I respect and I love you. And so do I love Charles Attell. I think, I don't know, we're backing, trampling on a very serious ground. You're talking about a lot of money. Remember Jody Foster and them? This don't look good. I wish you would back away from this thing. Because these are some dangerous people you're dealing with. Unless,
I understand.
Of course, you have the brothers from the nation. I'm calling on the brothers from the Nation of Islam to offer you some protection. Because I don't like this at all. It's wonderful information, but these people, it's a lot of money. These are some very, very, I don't care nothing about that. Even if Trump want to give her the presidency, he'll be fine with me. Because too many innocent people are dying and will die. Because I know these people. Okay?
I understand what you're saying, Willie. And I accept it in the spirit that you give it. But I've been doing this all my life, professionally. And you know, I'm not given to fear. I just do my work.
Well, it's not fear. I'm not saying it's fear. I know you don't have any fear, but you're dealing with some dangerous, deadly people.
Yes, I know. I know. But again, I have been dealing with dangerous, deadly people for quite some time.
We are
beginning to see more and more people coming aboard and saying, these things are not right. They are not right. And we have to raise our voices, each of us doing whatever we can to get the word out. That's what we have to do.
You are shining star, just like Malcolm. Let somebody else do it. You just leave it alone. That's all I'm saying. Unless you have the backing of the nation.
I do what I do, and other people do what they do. And,
okay, baby.
You know, don't give up on me so fast. So, but it is something I don't dismiss, but it's what I have been doing all my life. That brings us to the end of our program today. We just have to do our own little bit. That's what we have to do, our own little bit. Because part of what we have to consider is that we're getting into deeper and deeper holes because they have the field is clear. There's nobody stopping these folks or putting them out there, letting it be known. And we have to do that. And I'm glad that more and more, and the irony is, it is the so-called right wing newspapers that are really on top of this. The mainstream media, you can't find too much from them. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Vincent Emanuele with Meditations and Molotovs. You can reach me on email at leadstories@gmail.com. As always, a pleasure and a great privilege to be in your company. And let's support this station. Let's support this station. And when you send your check in for whatever amount that you can, just say, I am a Lead Stories listener. I want people to know about this program and that we are very, very much involved in supporting those things that help us reach each other. So that's going to be a little campaign to get people to know PRN and to know this program. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.